This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. A nice day today, isn't it? January 12th. We'll have a lot of fun on today's podcast. Tomorrow, we have a good guest for the best NFL playoff game. You can guess which game that is. I don't think you're going to guess our guest, but he did play for one of the teams about a decade ago, and he has a great, great nickname. Or he had it when he was playing in the NFL. But January 12th, we've got a lot to get to today. It is obviously a day of big birthdays. Howard Stern, Jason McIntyre. Yeah, a big day, obviously. But I think we need to get to real sports stories because there's good ones out there. And Joe Judge getting fired by the Giants is not one of them. That's way down the list. The college football final ratings for Georgia-Alabama were, oh my God, they were staggeringly bad. We'll get to that shortly. But I think we have to open with the NFL because a couple people sent me this and I missed the text. And then, of course, Rob G, producer to the Stars, sends me some topic ideas. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. And then he sends me this one. And Pro Football Focus, we've had several guests from Pro Football Focus. I like their stuff. I either subscribe or someone gave me the code to look at Pro Football Focus, but I use it every week, almost every day, to look at grades. I mean, I just submitted an NFL mock draft 4.0. Yes, 4.0. We start them right after the draft happens. So fourth one in, what is this, 9 months now? And you're on Pro Football Focus, like looking at where there are deficiencies on NFL teams. You're obviously looking at how they grade some of the college football players. And Pro Football Focus, I think, is a valuable resource. But then they go out and do nonsense like this, and you're just like, it's kind of a ding to the credibility. So Pro Football Focus put out its all-pro team. And they're starting running backs, obvious. Jonathan Taylor. Starting wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. We get all that. That stuff's easy. Debo Samuel's a flex. Like, no real surprises. I mean, Creed Humphrey was a mild surprise at center, but he was outstanding for the Chiefs this year. And overall, like, on offense, it's easy. Defense, you know, you got Aaron Donald, obviously. Max Crosby got the nod over TJ Watt. Miles Garrett's in there. I mean, not a ton of surprises, okay? Except when you look at quarterback, which is obviously the most important position in sports. Pro Football Focus went with Tom Brady at quarterback of the All-Pro team. And as if that wasn't enough, and you're like, oh, snubbing Aaron Rodgers. Well, that's a jerk move. But they did a second team too. And their second team quarterback is Joe Burrow. Okay, let that sink in for a moment. Now, why would they do this? Well, as someone who ran a sports website, I started the website 2006, sold it, I think, in 2011. And I basically operated it for about a little over a decade. There are several ways you can easily gin up clicks. Obviously, we did something called the Roundup every day, the best links from around the internet. And at the top of the Roundup, we'd have some attractive female, Jessica Biel, whoever it was. Jessica Biel, how did that name pop into my head? Super random. Anyways, that was always one of the most traffic posts of the day. Obviously, because there's an attractive female and there's a ton of good links to go through. There's like viral videos. It was cool every morning, the Roundup. But you could also do lists, right? Lists, people love lists. You just quickly look through it. There's no thought involved. You're just scanning down the list. And doing lists is great for traffic. And then when you double down and get super interesting by A, highlighting somebody who shouldn't be highlighted, or B, totally leaving someone off of a list, or C, you know, dropping them way down the list in a comical manner, that's how you get noticed. People read it and they're like, oh, look at this garbage. And then everybody talks about it and is upset. Well, there's going to be about 50 different websites putting out all pro teams this week, right? You've got a week between the end of the regular season and the wild card games. You got like 4 days of content to fill. And I was kind of nervous this week. I'm like, geez, what are we going to talk about? Well, there's some good stuff. Obviously, if you want to cut through of those 50 all-pro teams, you know, Fox is going to do one, ESPN will do one, CBS, Yahoo, Pro Football Focus, on and on and on. Everybody does one. the way to cut through is to leave Aaron Rodgers off the list. He's not an all-pro quarterback. Now, there's no explanation. They hype up Brady. He led the NFL in dropbacks, threw for the most yards, second best turnover worthy throw rate in the league, blah, 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 blah. I was 44 years old. I forgot about that. Joe Burrow was basically climbing at the end of the season, and he had a chance to top Brady, but he sat in week 18, so it's Brady and Burrow. No explanation of Aaron Rodgers, like he doesn't exist. So that's obviously the first trick, right? You do that, then you don't explain it. So then what happens? Everybody lights you up. I haven't looked, but I'm certain multiple blogs, Green Bay blogs, Green Bay newspapers, Green Bay radio stations are all like, Pro Football Focus snubs Aaron Rodgers. Because how the hell do you snub Aaron Rodgers when he was easily the best quarterback in the league this year? Like, easily. He misses a game, they lose. He sits out in the second half against the Lions, they collapse. Like, Aaron Rodgers, his numbers are unparalleled, his throws, like, I love Tom Brady, you guys know that, I'm a fan, despite him playing for the Patriots, but this is what Pro Football Focus is doing. Am I going to be talking about any other All-Pro list this week? 99.9% no. Why did I talk about Pro Football Focus? Because they did this. So it's a victory. Congratulations, guys. I wouldn't call that necessarily clickbait because it's more of a trick. A clickbait is when you advertise something that is totally not what the link is. That's clickbait, at least in my opinion. I'm sure other people have theirs. But this isn't clickbait. This is basically a smart, savvy move. Hey, we're just going to leave Aaron Rodgers off the list, not explain it, and then call it a day. People will click and be outraged, and we'll just... It's like Joe Rogan had a funny thing where he said he likes to go on social media, make a statement, and then back away and close it and go out and just leave it, walk away. It's almost like throwing a grenade in social media and then closing social media, walking away, going about your business, enjoying life, doing whatever you got to do, not checking social media, and then let all the rats just freak out about it. That's basically what this is. Smart move by Pro Football Focus. Y'all got me. I mentioned it. But there is good news for the Aaron Rodgers crowd.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Peter King, the credible football morning in America guy. He's been on this podcast. He's basically the dean of NFL sports writers. He pulled 36 media members and former players who work in media. Who's the MVP? 32 of them said Aaron Rodgers. 32 of the 36. Two guys voted for Joe Burrow. Two guys, Carl Banks, former linebacker for the Giants, and a guy on Pro Football Focus, they vote for Tom Brady. I think that's going to be more symbolic of what the actual vote is. I will say this. Yes, earlier in the season, there was concern that Rodgers' whole COVID situation quote-unquote lying to the media and all that stuff, that was going to hurt him. But by the end of the season, the numbers were so clear in his favor, touchdown-interception ratio, wins, number one seed. Like, it was obvious to anybody that the Packers are the best team and Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. So that's all I've got to say. Thank you to Peter King for putting that out there. That was probably the best story in the NFL on Tuesday. I thought the Joe Judge one was interesting. There was no way to keep Joe Judge, right? The locker room was in disarray. The GM was leaving. You don't want to keep the coach and bring in a new GM because how hard is it going to be to hire a GM when they say, you've got to take Joe Judge? Really? Do I have to answer to the coach? That's no way to do business. You either hire the GM and the coach at the same time, or you hire the GM first, and then he hires a coach, not the other way around. So they dusted Judge, no surprise whatsoever. Interesting note, I forget who posted it, but there are now a total of zero former Bill Belichick assistants as head coaches in the league. If you looked at last year, there was Flores. There was, Flores, Bill O'Brien, and Judge. Three. They're all gone. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole power-hungry stuff. That's well chronicled. I do find it interesting, though, that they're all out. Well, meanwhile, look at the Sean McVay quote-unquote tree. Remember the joke how, boy, Zach Taylor had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay. He got the head coaching job of the Bengals. Whatever that matters, Zach Taylor's in the playoffs right now. Zach Taylor and the Bengals are in the playoffs. Now, he has Joe Burrow. Brian Flores did not have a quarterback. Joe Judge did not have a quarterback. Bill O'Brien had a quarterback, but he got too power hungry and really flubbed being the GM. But the Sean McVay tree, right? Zach Taylor is, they won the division and they're in the playoffs. Matt LaFleur, I don't know if he's in the McVay tree. They were like best buddies and coached together. LaFleur's Packers need no introduction, number one seed. They've really had an outstanding three-year run. Cliff Kingsbury, one of the McVay guys, he has his Cardinals in the playoffs. The other McVay guy, of course, Brandon Staley, another one of these, he had a cup of coffee with McVay. Let's give him a job. Staley's Chargers miss it on the final, you know, in the final game of the regular season, or they'd be here too. I do find it a little interesting that the Belichick tree seems to have fully soured at this point. And it looks like the NFL has kind of moved on. Because remember, for a good 15 years there, dating back to my guy, Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel, who's the guy? Several others from the Belichick tree got head coaching jobs. And they, you know, all for whatever reason, it just never really panned out. Of course, McDaniels in Denver, a total catastrophe. And then he was going to go to Indy. Took the job for like 8 minutes and then backed out. And people are waiting for McDaniels to get a job. But truthfully, I don't know what owner is going to bring in McDaniels. Honestly, given the track record of all these other guys and the power that they seek because they saw how Bill operated and it's worked for Bill, it's just not going to work. I think the only landing spot for McDaniels is when Belichick leaves, be that in 2 years, in five. But McDaniels ultimately will get his moment in the sun. So I don't know where the Giants go from here. They are recycling through coaches in a way that the Cleveland Browns do, and this is a proud franchise. I think the New York Giants have four Super Bowls in the last, like, 35 years. It's got to be up there among the most in the last 35 years. They're a great franchise. And this last, you know, decade, basically, everything has gone sideways since the Odell Beckham boat trip. And I know I'm blaming it on Odell. Jason, you're bad. That's not nice. That's wrong. Not blaming it on Odell. But, you know, like, since that moment, it's all been downhill. They were in the playoffs the following week. And I think Odell had two drops, and they have not been back to the playoffs since. They ended up trading Odell. The Saquon Barkley thing's a disaster. Now, transitioning from Eli Manning was a total mess. It's just been a massive, massive goat fuck. And the Giants are, they are. You could argue they're the worst franchise in the league right now. It's bad. It's extremely bad for the Giants. But I want to wrap up with a little college football briefly. And this, you know, it's weird. I was just talking with somebody in the industry about this. When I had left Pittsburgh, I almost said Pittsburgh. When I left Pennsylvania to move to California, you know, come out here and join Fox, TV ratings were like a big talking point, especially for the sports shows. And like, you know, when I was on The Daily, the show every day, it was like we would look at the ratings, like that stuff actually mattered. And I feel like now nobody really talks about ratings. I don't know if it's just so passe or things are pivoting so quickly to streaming that it's like it just doesn't really matter for TV ratings. Like nobody cares. I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did. But I will be honest. I almost missed this. The national championship ratings for Alabama-Georgia were the second lowest in the history. Let me get this second lowest of the playoff era. Now, I don't want anybody saying this is the playoff, it stinks. No, 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 no. That's not right. Go look at the first college football playoff. The ratings for Ohio State, Oregon in January 2015, 34.6 million viewers. A mere 7 years later, it was down to 22.6 million. So you've lost about 35% of your national championship audience in 7 years. In almost any business, if you're down 35% in 7 years, the CEO's toast, multiple other leaders in that organization are gone, and there's a chance you're heading toward bankruptcy. Now, obviously, college football is extremely lucrative. I like the sport. Obviously, I hate the college football playoff with four teams making it and basically it being an exclusive club that can make it, and like 98% of the country is just not eligible to make the playoff. Dropping 35% in 7 years is crazy. Now, my guy, Ryan Glassbiegel, you guys know him. He was at the Big Lead with me. Now he's at the New York Post. He, as soon as I tweeted this out, he quickly responded, well, if you look at the NBA Finals, they were down half, more than half from 2017. And I love it. People love to pick on the NBA about ratings, but let's be clear. The LeBron Curry 2017 Finals, where it was Kevin Durant and Steph Curry against LeBron, that was a massive TV audience. That was a TV event. People wanted to see Kevin Durant. I mean, I went on the herd. I'll never forget this. Right before the series began, I said, LeBron's passing the torch to Kevin Durant. He's going to be the best player in the league. And Durant lit him up head-to-head. I know LeBron didn't have really anybody, and it was a wrap. But that audience was, I got to get the numbers here, but I think it was 28 million. But the weird thing is Ryan compared it to what the numbers were last year. And I'm like, bro, hold on. Let me get the exact number. 2017, they had 24 million viewers for the final game of the series. Last year, Suns Bucks, 12 million. And I'm like, all right, let's take a deep breath here. Are you really trying to say that the interest level in LeBron versus KD and Curry is anywhere near the same as Chris Paul versus Giannis? Like, I could have told you the ratings were not going to be great for Bucks Suns. That's obvious. Now, if we get this, I'll make a wager with anybody. If we get Nets Warriors, over 20 million viewers, most since KD and Curry versus LeBron. I'll put money on it. If we get the healthy Warriors, Clay, Curry, against James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, we will get 20 million viewers for the NBA Finals. Easily. Maybe 25. It's pretty clear people like super teams. And I don't want to hear this, well, what about Lakers Heat? No. Come on. The NBA Finals that year, I think, were played in August. Are you kidding me? Come on. No. I'm sorry. They were not played in August. They were playing like October. That's right. The season started in August. Yeah. NBA Finals in like October when you got college football, baseball postseason, and the NFL? Get out of here. Of course not. No, NBA can't compete with that. If the finals are in June, 20 million plus. Take that to the bank. That being said, I don't know that the same is true for college football. I can't tell you right now a matchup between Michigan and UCLA is going to get you 30 million viewers. I don't know that to be the case. I mean, are people, and I don't know if there's an easy way to answer this, are people just worn down on the SEC? Are they bored of Alabama? Are they bored of Nick Saban's dominance? Because according to this story, Deadline Hollywood, Alabama, Georgia in 2018, which was a great game, the Tua overtime touchdown pass, 28 million viewers. So 2018 was down 6 million from 2015, and now we're down to 22 million. And you just wonder where that trajectory is headed. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm not I'm not paying for ad space during the national championship. But I do find it interesting that your TV audience is shrinking massively.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All of a sudden, 12 million people who used to watch the national championship just decided no thanks. 12 million. Now I know people are watching differently. What about all the people who have YouTube TV? What about the cord cutters? Yes, that's obviously significant. I think that applies to everyone, except really the NFL, which continues to have that older audience who watches religiously Sunday night football after a full day of football. Even the 4 p.m. window on Fox, CBS, those are massive numbers. And the reason is because the audience is older. What is the college football audience? I think that's a fair question. You know? I mean, if you're a 30-year-old, do you care about Alabama and Georgia? Like, I just, you get the college crowd, and you get the older crowd, and you get your fan base, but, I mean, if you're a USC fan, are you watching Alabama? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I mean, you guys could chime in, hit me on social, and fill me in, but it's just college is interesting. NBA, listen, I think it's the kind of deal where, like, yeah, if Kevin Durant is playing Curry, my mom is aware of who Steph Curry is. I think Kevin Durant's probably well-known enough among moms and dads that they would tune, at least give a look-see. I don't think there's any way I could compel my parents to say, hey, Nick Saban's going for national title number 15. They probably don't know who Nick Saban is. I think that's a fair critique. Like, the pro athletes are obviously significantly different from college. You know, you get the rotations every three, four years. It's college is a bit of a tough sell. I think you need to change the format and make it a 12. I mean, 16's interesting. 12. I think you need to expand the playoff. But I've been beating this dead horse for years, so I'll stop now. But I thought those were interesting stories for middle of the week. And as I said, tomorrow we have a good guest to talk NFL playoffs. I did make another bet, although I'm regretting it. And my buddy Dan, who I go to this boxing class with, I like how he's always asking me who I'm on because he listens to the pod and he's like, you sure you like Dallas? You're on them? And it's a little bit of regret with the Dallas bet early, but I got it 3, which I think is a better number than 4. I would hate it at 4. But I told him I loaded up on the Chiefs. And of course, for whatever reason, on Tuesdays, Pittsburgh Steelers money showed in the market. And that got me a little, I don't want to say upset because my bet's made. I feel confident. But to see it dip down a little bit from 13 to like 11.5 at some sharp spots, it's like, huh, I don't know what people are seeing. I'm a little surprised. I think the Chiefs work them. I know Tomlin is the rah-rah coach. And this is a totally different spot than last year where they just got destroyed at home by the Browns. They were big favorites and they got killed and I was on the Steelers. So this year they are almost 2 touchdown underdogs. And Andy Reid, we know with the bye week and the postseason, he's lethal. They don't got a bye week. I'm on the Chiefs. I'm pot committed. Kansas City, Rams. I'm still marinating on the others. If there is one dog I like, I kind of want to make a case for the Eagles. I mean, if it gets to 10, I don't think it'll touch 10 because then you'll get way too much big money on the Eagles. I just think if they're able to run the ball, and I know obviously the tried and true is everybody runs nobody can run on Tampa. Philly, all they do is run. Nobody runs on Tampa. They have no chance. Well, I just want to point out the Jets had like 150 on the ground. Teams, and for whatever reason, it's gone unnoticed because it hasn't really mattered. But in the last like 4 or 5 weeks, teams have had some success running against this Tampa front. Now, I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know how. A lot more work to be done. But I do think if I'm looking at one dog, it's probably Philly. I don't think I can make a case for the Raiders. But we'll see. We got lots of work to do. All right, guys. Everybody enjoy January 12th. A great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.